The Sunday Morning Playground on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA.
The Ticket.
Welcome back to the Playground right here on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. The Ticket. I'm Josh Zinke, also known as Jay-Z. Also known as The Rocket on the Appliance Doctor Radio Show, which you heard 8 to 10. Across from me, Jeff Childs.
Also known as Jeff Childs, ITH. Also known as Skater on the Appliance Doctor Radio program.
That's very true. And Tony O, also known as Tony O Doesn't Wear Pants, also because he's wearing shorts. Every show he's ever done, he's worn shorts. And then Matt Misler in the ones and twos. He's back after a week off.
Yep, I'm back.
He's back. He celebrated St. Patrick's Day week early.
Yeah, a week early. They had the St. Patrick's Day parade down in Detroit. I didn't see any of the parade.
Right. All right, let's take our first caller, JJ from Lincoln Park. Talk to us.
Well, before I get going on the basketball, I just want to give a little shout-out to the women. Set a few records. I know they only finished 11th in the NCAA. They got passed by Minnesota, but Minnesota had some good swims. So shout-out to the women. Hopefully we'll get some better top echelon swimmers in here and be back in the top five or six in the NCAA meet. Tony, oh, you're just talking about basketball and stuff like that. You are so right. Indiana is by far the premier school for basketball in the entire conference, going back to Branch McCracken. And look what happened to that program. The day that Miles Brand fired Bobby Knight, that program's never been the same. Never. And it's because they don't even recruit their own state. They've had how many misses? Kind of reminds me of when Lloyd Carr left, and then we got those other two guys. You remember that? Especially the first one they hired. Who? Think about this. Think about the basketball fortunes for Michigan if Rick Pitino would have took the job. And think about the football fortunes of Alabama if Rich Rod took that job. I'll let you talk, then I want to add something else. Go.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, JJ. I mean, I think just from the historical, the tradition, coming from a Michigan football fan, I gotta think that means something.
All right, your other point?
These two have been the top of the line forever. And think about back then there was only one team going to the NCAA tournament. I still remember the 74 playoff game between Michigan and Indiana before those great 75 and 76 teams where they both tied for first place and they had to have a special playoff game at Assembly Hall in Illinois to have the winner go to the NCAA tournament. Think about that now when 68 teams are in there. Go Blue!
Go Blue. JJ from Lincoln Park, thank you for calling in. If you want to call in, talk women's swimming or Michigan basketball or softball or anything Michigan-related sports-wise, all you have to do is call 734-998-1050, 734-998-1050. So that debate sparked pretty well right there. So we didn't get through all the teams in the tournament. Maryland, they took on Xavier, the 11 seed, easily beat them. Wait, no, that's not correct. Xavier won that game. Then Xavier went ahead and beat Florida State as the 11 seed. They march on in the West bracket. Gonzaga, West Virginia, Xavier, and Arizona. Did you guys have it that way?
No, I did not. I had Maryland beating Xavier and then losing to Florida State. And, of course, that's all messed up. My entire bracket is messed up.
All right. Tony O, in your bracket, did you have Gonzaga, West Virginia, Xavier, and Arizona as your four in the West?
No, I didn't.
And Matt Misler.
No, I actually had I had Arizona. I had Florida State, so that one busted. Then I had Notre Dame, and then I had Vanderbilt, so that one messed up completely. But could be worse. It could be Bracket McBracketface.
That's true. I don't know how his bracket's doing. We'll have to get a check on that if you could look that up.
I'm going to look that up for you.
Bracket McBracketface, who didn't have a single win on the first day. It's an actual guy. I mean, it's not his actual name, but an actual thing he went through and was 0 for 16 on the first day. We're not sure how he's doing. We'll have Matthew Misler check that out. My bracket, don't worry about mine. I don't even hold mine now. I have Jamie Morris. He filled out two of them, and one he did have Florida State moving on. The other one he did pick Xavier. He does have all four correct teams in the West, but he did mess up. He had East Tennessee. He has UMC Williamson.
With his three brackets? Well, the odds are in his favor.
Well, yeah.
That he's going to pick a few right
there. Well, you can't blame Ira Weintraub allowed us to pick two. You could pick two per the to win the Labatt Blue Victor's Lounge passes. Obviously, we're all out of it. We can't win that because more likely we'll be there anyways. But I filled out one, filled out three more, but didn't associate with the actual one, so it means nothing. The second one in that bracket, I have zero because I never filled it out. So, yes, Bracket McBracketface, how's he doing?
Bracket McBracketface has 5 wins on his bracket. USC over SMU.
Nice.
South Carolina over Marquette. Wichita State beating Dayton. We'll see if he can advance it if they beat Kentucky. Then they had Arkansas over Seton Hall. And he's got Michigan over Oklahoma State.
All right, so we were thinking...
By the way, in case anyone was curious,
yeah,
his final four, only one still alive, and that is Wichita State. The other three, 16th-ranked Mount St. Mary, 16th-ranked UC Davis, and 16th-ranked South Dakota State.
Yes, I think he was picking every game the other way, all the way through, and I believe the final game he has a 1-0 win.
1-0 win, Wichita State over South Dakota State. Obviously, the Jackrabbits just could not score.
Right, in that game.
That or free throws. No one can hit free throws. I don't know.
And yeah,
maybe they just didn't understand the concept of basketball. I don't know.
Well, the funny thing about it is they made a whole story about it, and obviously we're still following it, so we're making more of a story about
Bracket. We will keep you up to date here on the ticket when we find out more about Bracket McBracketface. If he's listening, call us.
I don't think he's listening. I don't think he watches basketball.
Bracket McBracketface. Come on. Call up Bracket McBracketface.
Maybe he's in a worst bracket ever. And he's hoping to lose every game.
Grow up.
But obviously he's not. All right. So if you want to call in and talk about the best job, say if all the jobs came open, every Big Ten basketball school fired their coach, and which one would you take first? Would you take the Indiana job as Tony O and JJ, they believe? Or what was your number one, Jeff Childs?
I would take, if the jobs were open in the Big Ten, I would take Michigan State and then Wisconsin.
Michigan State, Wisconsin, all right. And you're willing to deal with Barry Alvarez as the athletic director slash coach of every team?
He has proven in the past to be a little problematic for a lot of coaches that would have been there, and I'm sure if I were the coach, I would have some prickly issues with Mr. Alvarez, but hopefully my winning on the basketball court would supersede any of that.
That is true. With Izzo, then Heathcote before that, long record there. I could see where Michigan State would probably be ranked first on my list. Indiana would be right behind that. And where would Michigan be ranked, Jeff Childs? Would they be in the middle?
Well,
who's below.
Yeah. I would have Michigan State, Wisconsin, Purdue, Michigan, and then Indiana. I think I'm forgetting somebody, but Indiana.
Hold on. You have Purdue and Michigan above Indiana.
As of where the programs are at.
And why? Yes. Go ahead. Purdue, what do they have that really... I mean, they have Swanigan, but he'll more likely leave soon. What do they have that really pulls you towards Purdue?
Well, Purdue's also got some great basketball tradition. I believe they're number one all time as far as Big Ten titles. Now after the regular season title this year, they again, like Indiana, are in a basketball rich hotbed in the state of Indiana for recruiting. They have rich tradition as well. And then if we're talking about right now, currently, with what John Beilein has done for Michigan, making the Michigan job a place to be and sending players to the NBA, Michigan's got to be up there too and winning titles.
All right.
See, but you got to look at the job more than just who the roster is at the time. I mean, I think you look at, you know, I agree that in terms of program stability, I think you're probably spot on with your rankings. Maybe even Indiana, well, at this point, could be even further.
You just put a little more weight in. That's fine.
Right, but you know, I think you got to qualify it by saying the fact that, like Michigan compared to Indiana historically is not on the same traditional blue blood basketball place. Same with Purdue. I just think, there's more to it than just who's on the roster, because I think the idea, right, is like, you know, at Indiana, you're gonna be able to talk to more high school coaches that are gonna be wanting to send their kids to your school because they even just look up to the Indiana than maybe at Purdue, for example, or so I don't know. I still think it goes like Indiana, Michigan State, and then the rest are all kind of similar.
I would say to a point, but I think also if you look historically, Indiana's problems and some of the bad hires they've made, they've had problems getting their program to a stable point. They made some bad hires in Sampson and then all the NCAA violations. But you have to get – Indiana has proven they have been unable to get the right fit as far as a head coach. They have to get the right fit as a head coach and then also a guy that's going to recruit the right type of players for the program. Indiana may be at the center of that state as far as basketball talent, but it's all a matter of, to me, getting a coach that's the right fit and then recruiting the right players for your system. Indiana's been unable to do that for decades.
Well, no, I agree with you, but – I mean, even just from the media, you know, standpoint alone, when ESPN talks Blue Bloods, when they talk college basketball, Indiana's always going to be in the conversation. Kentucky's always going to be in the conversation.
I don't argue that.
Purdue, Wisconsin, you know, when they're relevant, but anytime they talk about college basketball, the Blue Bloods are in the discussion. So I think even from that alone, that gives, you know, that's got to give a bump.
Yeah, I mean, you make a great point, and that's fair. But I guess my question is, how long can you use that tradition to fuel your program, and how long can you hold on to that and go through how many losing seasons before you're relevant again?
No, I agree. And you know, it's interesting. A reporter asked that question to the Indiana athletic director at the press conference where he talked about the firing, where they said, you know, because the athletic director was talking about how they want their next coach to win them their next national championship and many more. And so the reporter was asking, well, at what point do you become the stats, right? I mean, at what point does the fact that you haven't won one in 20 years mean that you're not, you know, a relevant contender?
Yeah, I think Indiana's last national title was, I think, 1987.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And so I agree, like, that – but, again, we saw with Michigan football that, you know, it had been – you know, approaching 20 years, maybe not, with a couple good ones in there, where we weren't really at what most people would think of when they think about Michigan basketball. I mean, sorry, Michigan football.
Yeah.
So I still thought at the time that when you know, Michigan football, the name alone, the weight that it carries just in the football world still makes it one of the best jobs, you know. And then you add in, you know, the Big House and all the fans and all and the recruiting, you know, that you could do nationwide and in the Midwest. I mean, I think that contributes, not just the fact, right, that, you know, that maybe at the moment we had, you know, Devin Gardner on the roster, right, or at the moment we had, you know, so-and-so on the roster, but the fact that you have all these other things surrounding the program that, even though the program was unstable and was, you know, considered by some to not be strong, it's still one of the best. It's still one of the best programs that, you know, is around.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, and I see what you're saying, Tony. And I would still make the case that currently, it's not. It's, you know, five or below as far as the Big Ten. But what I would say to the Michigan analogy is that while Michigan hasn't won a national title since 1997, they've been in the upper echelon still. They went to Rose Bowls. They went to BCS bowl games. They won BCS bowl games. They were in the conversation last year. So I think that distinction, that analogy has to be made between just when did you win the last national title and when were you elite? Because while Michigan hasn't won the Big Ten in a while, they've been in the conversation, whereas Indiana, with all that's happened, that's been a different sort of case entirely.
I agree, but there was a generation. I mean, basically people born around the time I was born, you know, they grew up with Michigan football not being what historically it has been. So I think once you get to that point where, you know, the kids who were on the team in 2015 or 2013, they never had Michigan football be, you know, in the top, other than, you know, 2006 and maybe like 2000, what was it, 4 or 3?
Was 2004 was the last Big Ten title.
Yeah, so I mean,
shared.
So other than like those couple years, it wasn't like what we hear about. So, but it was still a good pro. It was still like at the top of the, you know.
Right. You're listening to Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket, Ann Arbor, Acumulus Station, Tonio and Jeff Childs going back and forth. If all the 14 coaches were fired in basketball, where would be the one job you would want first? Jeff Childs says Michigan State, Tonio, Indiana. Where's Michigan for you, Tonio?
I think that it's about the same as like the sort of Wisconsin, Purdue, those three, I would say, just below Michigan State, all approximately the same, just in terms. I mean, that being said, I believe John Beilein is like in the top 10 salary-wise, so maybe we get a bit of a bump there. just because, I mean, base compensation does count.
Okay, let's talk about Coach Beilein. We've thought, have different thoughts all season long. We've seen some really high highs, some really low lows. Your thoughts, we'll go Jeff Childs first. Your thoughts, Coach Beilein, he's making his 10th in 10 years at Michigan, his 7th actual time going to the tournament. Your thoughts on Coach Beilein this year?
This is an exceptional job by Coach Beilein. What he's been able to do to turn around a team that we took so many callers on this station about people wanting him gone and saying he's not the right man for the job. I think his career and his reputation and what he's done at Michigan speaks for itself. Any program he's been at, he's turned them around, he's taken them to the tournament, and he inherited a program here at Michigan in 07 and 08 that hadn't been to the tournament since 1998 due to sanctions, and he has turned Michigan around to the point where they are competing in the Big Ten every year. He took a roster that, going into this year, there are a lot of question marks about, you know, what there was expectations that Michigan would be able to get to this point in the Sweet 16, but the way they have gotten to this point has not been a smooth ride, but he's been able to shape and mold these parts together on this roster to where you're getting double-digit scoring out of three, four guys on the floor every night. They're playing better defense, especially down low. They're closing out on three-point shooters. It's really been a remarkable job by John Beilein and his coaching staff for a team that went through all the struggles like they did, all the question marks about Zach Ervin, that they're at this point. So high marks to John Beilein.
All right, overall grade this year for Coach Beilein, even though the season's not over with?
Like A through F?
Yeah.
I would give this grade a B plus.
All right, Tonio, your thoughts. I know you're more of kind of what I was thinking, you know, let's maybe look somewhere else as the season was going on.
Yeah, basically over the past 2 months, the turnaround has been historic. I mean, it's night and day. I think back to that first Illinois game, you know, losing by like 19 or 20 points. And we, you know, in most of the games for the first half of the season that weren't played in New York City looked like that. But now in the past 2 months, they look like a top 15, top 20 team. And they're consistent, you know. I mean, that was another one of the issues, is that, you know, there'd be games where, you know, certain players would play well, and then the next game, you know, or the 2 games later, they'd play, you know, pretty terribly. And they seem to have really done a tremendous job at fixing that. So John Beilein gets a lot of credit. I'd probably say B+, maybe even A-. That being said,
you still have games to go too.
Yeah, there's still games. But that being said, I think that the criticism in terms of recruiting is still fair. I think that we should, with the facility we have and the geographic location between Detroit and Chicago, I think we should be getting more talent than star rated talent. Not, you know, again, like the diamonds in the rough, I love them. They're great. I would like to consider us on an approximately level playing field with the Indianas or the Kentuckys.
This is where this deep tournament run and winning that championship, and recruits all around the country saw that, and they're seeing Michigan make this run in the tournament, and hopefully it'll keep going after today. But these are the type of things that you hope will sway a guy like Mo Bamba, the big 7-foot kid out of Brooklyn that Michigan's recruiting. I mean, these are the type of things that have to happen consistently for Michigan to get those players, and you hope that a run like this will have a hand in it.
Like in the past, yeah.
Yeah, Beilein has reached the Sweet 16 4 times, twice with West Virginia, 05 and 06, and then twice with Michigan, 13 and 14. I have to apologize to Coach Beilein, because, yeah, I was, excuse me, I was, I'm just, you know, shooken up, that how well he's changed. And I thought for a long time that this year that maybe it was the assistants that were doing a better job coaching this team than Coach Beilein. And I think this year we've seen that. Are we happy with, you know, a guy that's taking us to 7 out of the last 10 years, taking us to the actual big dance? Is that good enough for us with a chance to keep moving on? My grade so far for him, I say it's a B+, because obviously there's still games to be played, and we'll just see how he fares against tougher and tougher opponents as the season goes on. Grade for myself on overall looking at Beilein this year, I'm going to say a D, because obviously I think at the start, the way they kind of start off versus some of those lower-ranked teams, Furman, you know, those teams, I'm like, wow, this team's not going anywhere. They're going to the NIT. They're going to go there and they're going to stay there. And
isn't it interesting how expectations things change throughout the course of a year?
Right, it's been a big change because you think
this is where patience is a virtue.
Well, hopefully this is the first of a long time, and hopefully from this run he can get, like Tonio said, better recruits, not just those diamonds in the rough. Some of those guys that take 3-4 years. I mean, look at Derek Walton. If he doesn't come out of his shell after Illinois, maybe they are in the NIT. But he has changed, and with that, the team has changed around him. Zach Irvin, guys like that, that maybe if Walton doesn't do his job, maybe Irvin picks that up, but maybe Irvin doesn't do as good a job as he has. But you look at Wagner and the rest of the guys that are part of the team. I mean, everyone from top to bottom has improved since that Illinois game. So thanks to Illinois again. I want to say that for the second time this show because of – wow, who knew that just that is what they wrote, and you know the coaches writing on the walls how that was going to change this team. And I know it's over time, this team's getting better, but it's almost hard to really go and prepare for Michigan because they have different ways they can beat you. They can beat you on the outside game, they can beat you inside, and because of that, it's hard to watch film because you kind of have to start watching it after the Illinois loss all the way till now. Than those early games, because you're not going to get nothing out of there other than, wow, they can shoot threes. So, yeah, great job by Coach Beilein with many games to go, hopefully, this season as they keep marching on, hopefully, to another win. Or they winning it since, what, 89?
Yeah,
if
they won
a
national
title
since 89.
Maybe then we'll think more like Jeff and put Michigan higher up as our coaches, if everyone was fired for some reason, collusion, and we decided, hey, there's all of the jobs, and we want to pick one of them, that we would pick Michigan over Michigan State of those. But we'll have to wait and see. Game starts at 12:10 today. We're going to take you up to the pregame show starting at 11:30 right here on the playground. If you want to call and join us, talk Michigan basketball, 734-998-1050, 734-998-1050. Do you think Michigan wants to beat this team because they lost to them in that championship game?
I don't think this is really a matter of revenge. I think the players, obviously they are all recruits, and Michigan was in that national championship game. They watched the game, they've seen video from that game. John Beilein said this week that he used clips from that game as more of a teaching tool to illustrate what Michigan can expect against Louisville. I don't think this is a matter of revenge because, all the players on this roster were not in that game. But I do think they realize the significance of what it means for their coach, what it means for John Beilein. I think it's more about redemption for Michigan today and writing that and getting John Beilein on the right track, because John Beilein all the time against Rick Pitino is 1-4, and I'm sure they've heard that, and John Beilein obviously knows that, and it's less important to him. I think it's more important for the players to get that redemption for their coach.
All right, Tonio, your thoughts?
Yeah, at this point, we're so far removed from that game that I can't imagine that any of these players feel like a personal, you know, on a mission to, you know,
go out there and break their legs.
But, wow, God. Well, yeah, so, but I do, I would hope that, you know, just for themselves and wanting to get to the next round, that, you know, they have an intensity.
Right, but we saw that with the football team, how revenge helped Michigan prepare. I'm not saying it would help in basketball, but, you know, Rick Pitino, also known as Count Chocula, he's getting older. And I think, you got to use parts of that game to show your team and let them know kind of what it means. And I do think that some of the fan base, if not some of the players, I kind of know what happened, and they want to make sure Coach Beilein gets that win over Louisville. Let's take a break. We have two breaks, so one more after this one, and we'll get you that pregame show right here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket.